Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Let me start by sharing with you one of my friends. His name is Michael. Before I came to Edmonton, I was pastoring a church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I remember the day very vividly. It was a day, Tuesday, I think, in May. I told my assistant, Ruth, not to interrupt me because Tuesday and Wednesdays are reserved, blocked off for my sermon preparation. But there was a knock on the door, and it was Ruth, my assistant. She said, "Pastor V, I know I'm not supposed to interrupt you, but there's someone that I need you to see." She brought in Michael, a man from the neighborhood. Michael was in a tough place, you might say. He was discouraged because he didn't have work, and he was also in an abusive relationship. His girlfriend, he felt he was being taken, that she was manipulating him. Well, long story short, he was very depressed, very confused, very hurt, so much so that he was considering suicide. And as he was walking in the neighborhood, thinking about this dreadful thought, he saw the church sign. And that's how he walked in. And on that day, it began our relationship. Our relationship was birthed in that afternoon, in my office, right then and there. And that's because, say with me, together, we began praying together. We began reading the Bible together. We began eating together. We had my family and I, we invited Michael over for dinner at our own, to our home, and he was well received. And then he had us, all of us, to his place for dinner, so we ate together. And then I invited him to the Sunday worship at the church, and we worshiped together. I also took him to my small group. It was a men's group, and we began journeying together. Michael was, by profession, a hairstylist, so I made myself one of his clients. I went to his basement, and there was a little place in the corner of his basement where he turned that place into a hair salon, and he used to cut my hair. Back then, I had lots of hair. In short, you know what we did? We did life together. Wouldn't you agree? We did life together. Yes, we did. And he was making progress. He was doing better, but then there were some speed bumps on the way. I remember that Saturday, a few months later, I was in the basement of my home playing with my daughter, Johanna, and she was about 3 years old, and there was a call from Michael, and he was having a tough day, and he just went, he just vomited, and he felt like he took two steps backwards. So we prayed together. I encouraged him. And we always ended our conversation by saying this sentence together. Can I share with you what that line was? We always ended our conversation, whether in person or on the phone, we always said this. Are you ready? Victor, Michael, we have a long ways to go, but thank Jesus, we are not where we used to be. And then I had to leave Kalamazoo, Michigan, moved to Edmonton to start this new church so that I may do more of this with other people. I received a card some time ago, and Michael Han wrote these words. He was saying, you know, I think about you often, etc. And then here's what I want to share with you. I read the Bible every day, and I haven't missed it ever since you left. And friends, it's been many years. And then he ended the card by saying, same thing, Victor We have a long ways to go, but thank Jesus, we are not where we used to be. You made a difference in my life. How do you suppose I felt when I read that card? Nope. I felt like I was making a difference. Friends, I'm not sharing this story to blow my own horn. I want to give God the glory. I want to put the spotlight on Him. He did all this. And I'm saying this because we've been saying during this series, significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are and the difference you make in others. Significance, not success, significance is making, creating a lasting legacy by two things: who you are on the inside, by your character, whom you are becoming, and also by number two, the difference you make in the lives of others. That's what I felt. I felt significant because it wasn't just about me, but it was about somebody else, Michael. And not just me and Michael, but others who will be involved, invited on this journey of becoming somebody in our character, because Jesus defines who we are. He gives us our identity. Victor, though you are a sinner. Victor, though you are a failure. Victor, though you don't do anything right to earn my grace, my love, my acceptance, even though you are none of these, in Jesus Christ, God the Father loves me. Because Jesus Christ created me, and Jesus Christ died for me, and Jesus Christ saved me, and Jesus Christ upholds me and sustains me today. That's who I am. And by who I am creating a lasting legacy. And at the same time, by what I do, it's both being and doing. What did I do? I devoted my time. I devoted my energy. I devoted my talents in the life of somebody else, Michael. We are shaped for significance. And that is our current message series. And friends, just in case you might say, well, good on you, Victor. You are a pastor. You are professionally trained. Well, I'm not like you. Listen. The significant difference that the Holy Spirit made in Michael, it was not because of my ability, but because of my availability. Let me put it this way. The Lord Jesus does not need your ability. He just wants your availability. That's right. It's not by my might. It's not by my ability. No. I simply made myself available, Lord Jesus. I'm open. I want to be available. I don't have the ability. I don't have the gifts. I really don't. But when you come to the Lord Jesus with that posture, that disposition, I just give you what I have. I have nothing. All I have is me and my time and my availability. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will accomplish what I can't and what you can't on our own. So when you come to the Lord Jesus with that kind of mindset and submission and availability, He gives you two gifts. Are you ready? Write these words. The gift of the Holy Spirit, number one, and number two, the gift of the community. And that's what I had. I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I received the gift of community, and I simply invited Michael into that realm of community. So let me take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. But before you do that, would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, O Lord, help us to focus on You. And when we focus on You, and when we give ourselves wholly to You, when we offer our availability, you will do the rest. You are not calling us because we are able. You are calling us because you are able. Thank you, Lord. May we find significance. May we create lasting legacy, not only for ourselves, but for those who will be impacted by it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So hear the word of the Lord, Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So therefore, friends, to clarify what we just read, here is the theme and the goal. Please write these words. You are shaped for significance through community. You are being shaped for significance, creating a lasting legacy. How? Through what? Community. Community. By investing your time and your talents with somebody else in one another space. So I want to ask the following three questions. Who? What? And how? Who came together? And what did they do when they came together? And how did they do what they did when they came together? Let's go there. So first, who? Who came together? Starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to koinonia. So what does the personal pronoun they refer to? They, you need to read chapter 1 and chapter 2 in one sitting. So chapter 1. Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life after being crucified, as he promised. And as he appeared to the disciples, he said, listen, listen. Wait for the promised gift, the Holy Spirit, whom I'm going to send to you from God the Father. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even to Edmonton, Canada, and to the rest of the world. Okay? So that is the backdrop. And then all the disciples, the believers, the 11 disciples, and all the women, brothers of Jesus, and the mother of Jesus, Mary, they all came together and they were praying. For the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And at the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And they received the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, this is what happened. Peter preached, and on one day, 3,000 people were cut to their hearts, and they received Jesus, and they trusted Jesus, and they said, we will follow Jesus as our Lord, Savior, and God. And then they began to meet together, and they did life together, and that's what we just read. So what did they do when they came together? And all these people that were gathered in Jerusalem, and in chapter 1, it says, all the God-fearing Jews, that refers to God-fearing Jews from every nation came. It means non-Jewish people, non-Israelites, who came to Judaism, people from Rome, Cappadocia, Pamphylia, and all the Asia Minor, all these different ethnic group people, they became converted to Judaism, and they came to Jerusalem, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The multicultural people, a group of diversity, they all received the same Holy Spirit. Just like here at Mosaic House Church, we are a house churches of multicultural house churches. And we came together because of the Holy Spirit who brought us to Jesus Christ. So that's what we have, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's who came together. And when they came together, they devoted themselves to fellowship, right? Okay. The word to devote. It means this, to continue to do something with intense effort. Have you ever done that? Have you ever devoted your time and your effort and yet your energy to something with intensity? And it was an ongoing effort. Yeah. I've done that. You've done that. And that's what they did. They kept at it. So, who came together? The multicultural people who received the Holy Spirit at the day of the Pentecost. And then, what did they do when they came together? Number one, scripture, to know Jesus. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Apostles' teaching. They came together to house churches. We read, they met together every day in the temple courts, the big house. Everyone came. 3,000 people came to the temple courts. And then every day they met at people's homes. And this is referring to house churches. They didn't have these public buildings except for the temple. So people met in people's homes. And then what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Isn't it interesting that the author, which was Luke, he doesn't say they devoted themselves to the scripture, they devoted themselves to the Bible, but instead he wrote, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, meaning the Old Testament teaching through the lens and the interpretation and the preaching of the apostles. It is one thing to read the Bible, it's quite another to read it through the lens of Jesus' interpretation. And that's what they received, the apostles' teaching. And the difference is this, if you don't have the apostles' teaching, what you have, what you may experience is, oh, I have to do the right things and be the right person, I have to perform all this religious acts, and I have to be blameless or without any blemish before the sight of the holy God, and then God will accept me and love me. No. When you read it, receive it through the lens of the apostles' teaching, what you get is this. Victor, though you are a sinner. Victor, though you have not lived up to the standards of the holy God in Jesus Christ, He accepts you. In Jesus Christ, He loves you. In Jesus Christ, He already blesses you. And therefore, you obey. And therefore, you follow. Therefore, you do all these acts of holiness. Not, if you do these religious performances, then God will accept and love you. It's the other way around. So that's what we devote ourselves to in house churches. I gotta tell you, in my house church, in other house churches here, people come together, and when they open the scripture, and when they see it through the eyes of the apostles, and not only that, each of us receives different perspectives from the Holy Spirit. And when we gather, and when we share all that together, I hear time after time, I've never seen that before. I am so glad you helped me to open my eyes. Well, actually, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. For there you have it. They came together to devote themselves to know Jesus. Second, they devoted themselves to prayer, to meet Jesus. Friends, prayer is not primarily not getting things from God. Prayer is actually getting God. Because in prayer, you meet Jesus. In prayer, before you get things that you need, you meet Jesus, you get Jesus, and you commune with Him, and you fellowship with Him right then and there. And that is the most important aspect of prayer. and they devoted themselves to prayer. In my house church, since last week, we have a point person for prayer because this person has a passion for prayer, and it's really hard for me to do everything all by myself. So we appointed each person according to their own gifts. So this person is the point person when it comes to prayer. She said last Wednesday, "Hey, we believe in the power of prayer. I want to pray. You want to pray. What do we lack? Discipline, accountability, support." So we made an agreement. We committed ourselves to praying every morning at 6:30, just for half an hour, 6:30 to 7 in the morning, all of us simultaneously. And friends, I gotta tell you, the difference that made for the rest of my day, it was amazing. And not only that, my prayer for them and their prayer for me and our collective prayer for the church and for the city and for the world, and we feel and we believe the work of the Holy Spirit. So they devoted themselves to scripture, to prayer, and what's third? To generosity, which means to show Jesus. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit leads to Jesus Christ, and when you recognize that Christ became poor so that through his poverty he made you rich, you have a lot, and you become a person of generosity. You share possession. You share what you have to the people who are in need. And that's what exactly happened on that day. I hear time after time, countless stories, testimonies of people saying, "Hey, we were having to move, and I reached out to my house church, and my brothers and sisters at that house church, they devoted themselves, they gave up their Saturday, and they came and helped us move." I hear stories like this family who was going through a tough financial situation, and their power was cut off because they couldn't pay the bills. So their house church came together. They devoted themselves to generosity. They received collected money, and they paid off the electricity bill. And on that day, they got power back. And I'm hearing these stories. So last week, we heard from Pastor Jeremiah that he and his wife Sarah, they were going through a tough time for personal reasons and all the vicissitudes of life happening. So someone in their house church brought a meal to them, and they felt so encouraged. So we devote ourselves to scripture, prayer, and to generosity. And now, they also devoted themselves to community, which means to belong with Jesus. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship. Now, fellowship. It's an English word that does not do justice to the original language. The Greek word is koinonia. Say that after me. Koinonia. Koinonia. We hear the word fellowship in our translations, but it does not do justice. When I say the word fellowship, what does that word conjure up? You are thinking, you know, standing back there, having a cup of coffee with somebody that you know, right? Okay. But no, it does not do justice, because koinonia is really, really, what it means is doing life together. I appreciate that expression. Koinonia is doing life together. You open God's word together. You pray together. You weep together. You suffer together. You experience grief together. And you laugh together. You rejoice together. And then you eat together. And then you grow together. And you worship together. Exactly what I did with Michael. It's doing life together. And that is a description of the house church movement. We belong with Jesus. And that's what koinonia is all about. And because we belong with Jesus, Jesus does not simply want you to believe in him, which many of you are doing. Jesus wants you to belong with him. And since we belong with him because we believe in him, we belong with his body, the followers of Jesus Christ. And the next one is this. We devote ourselves to sent out, to go with Jesus, to go with Jesus. Now that we are in this koinonia, a community with a mission. So therefore, since Jesus is risen from the dead and he is going out there looking for the lost people, people like Victor Koh, so we go, we get to go with Jesus. We are being sent out. So therefore, community, we belong together with a mission. And the last one is this. We devote ourselves to movement, to multiply Jesus, to multiply Jesus. And we're not going to touch upon this today, but if as you read the rest of the book of Acts, it's all about the movement. It's not just one place here, but it's from here, it multiplied, it became a movement, went there, from there, over here, all over the Asia Minor. So friends, let's bring some applications into this. Again, house churches are about what? Doing life together. Doing life together. And when you do life together, it is better than doing it alone. It is God's design. God lives in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's why we, who are created in the image of God, we must have community for us to thrive, because we were made in the image of God. And that's why none of us can do this on our own. And that is the lie of the world. We need community. So friends, ever since the COVID, the elders of Mosaic House Church and staff and myself, we've been wrestling about this. We've been praying. We were on our knees and we prayed fervently. We devoted ourselves to prayer. And the promptings that the Holy Spirit gave us was this. We believe that it is good to us and good to the Holy Spirit that as Mosaic House Church family, as Mosaic House Church mission, we devote ourselves to the house church movement. So let me share with you the vision. The vision is this. Vision is simply a picture of the preferred future. Where are we going in terms of the house church movement? It's this, that every house church to multiply every 24 months. We believe in and through house churches, lives will be touched, lives will be transformed, and you and I get to do life together. So every 2 years, every house church multiplies. And in order for that to occur, we need at least four things from the Holy Spirit, four things from our partnership with the Holy Spirit. You know what they are? Number one, the six disciples' values are being lived out at both house church and personal level. You know, those six things: scripture, prayer, generosity, community, sent out, movement. Those disciples' values are being lived out both in my life, in your life, but also in every house church. This will promote and cultivate and bear fruit in your house church, my house church, being multiplied in every 2 years. Second strategy: each house church has at least 12 participants. If your house church remains just the two of you, you're not going to multiply. And if you are not healthy because you're not living out the six core values, then you will never be able to multiply. And therefore, if we are healthy by living out the values, we will have, by the help of the Holy Spirit, at least 12 participants. Number three, each house church has two competent lead missionaries. We don't call them leaders. We don't call them points. These are lead missionaries. They are being sent out. They are following Jesus and they are praying for you. And that is the mindset. We are missionaries here in Edmonton. So we need at least two of them who are becoming competent in their skill sets. Fourth, last one. EHL Church trains to apprentice lead missionaries. By the grace of Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have 12 participants, we are living out the six core values, and we have competent lead missionaries. But oh my goodness, we are like 15, 20 people, but we don't have anyone to pass the baton to. And that's why we got to start now in identifying, mobilizing, creating, equipping the future lead missionaries. And we believe, not only I, the elders, staff, we believe, and I feel very confident about this because we've been on our knees and praying, wondering, pondering, and we believe the response that the Holy Spirit gave to us was exactly this. Make significance in the lives of Edmontonians and beyond through house church. By in community, you are being shaped through community. So let me conclude with the following thoughts. Number one, would you please reach out to Melissa McCauley? Since this is so important, and we believe that this is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ from Mosaic House Church, we actually hired a full-time staff for us to follow and assist and partner with. So please reach out to Melissa, ask her questions, how you can be a part of the winning solution. Number two, for those of you who are in a house church already, the Lord commends you, I commend you, but more importantly, you got to think about significance. It's not just for your success, for your own personal fulfillment, that you are becoming you are okay with your faith journey. It's about creating a lasting legacy for somebody else. Who are your Michaels? Who are my Michaels today? It is Christ who's calling us to leave a lasting legacy in somebody else by who you are and the difference that you make. So be in a house church and make house church healthier, vibrant, and more robust by living out those core six values. And for those of you who are not in our church, may the Holy Spirit give you a nudge. May the Holy Spirit challenge you. May the Holy Spirit say, hey, this is not about just you. It's about others who will be benefited by your participation. Please remember that and go for a test drive by contacting Melissa. And lastly, let me end with this. It's not your ability, but your availability. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of community, the house church, will do the rest. It's not only on your shoulders. It's not on your shoulders only. It's the collective effort because we have a mission to accomplish. I want to leave a lasting legacy by who I am in the eyes of Christ and by the difference I make. And so do you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of community. We get to do this with a glad and sincere heart. Thank you, Lord. May your name be glorified. And Holy Spirit, I pray that somebody heard your voice today on this platform. That somebody will respond with a commitment and a devoted heart. We give you all the glory now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.